You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? That is what our friends Kondorian Murad, a law firm based out of Fairfax, would like to know. They're going to take good care of you, set up your last will and testament, a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Welcome back to GND. Tomorrow, we're in Leesburg at Pupatella from 2 to 6:30. Come on out, eat some pizza, talk some football. They got a full bar. Kick it with us. Bring the family out for dinner if you want to. And get ready for a Saturday game. First time all season. First time in a couple years Washington's playing on a Saturday night.
Feels like an annual tradition, though. Right around now, college bowl season is sort of semi in full swing, but it's before the championship games. There's a vacant spot on the calendar. Get you Saturday game. It's fun.
The last time the Commanders, well, they weren't the Commanders then. They were the Redskins. But the last time Washington played a Saturday night game against the Eagles was one of my favorite games in team history, which tells you that I'm too young to remember the Super Bowls. But in Philly, Kirko threw for 364-4, and they beat the Eagles to win the division in 2015 in week 16 in the 17-game season. They go on the road. It's them or Philly. One's going to get the playoffs. Kirk throws for 360-4. Jordan Reed, Pierre Garçon go nuts. That was the game right before the half where Kirk took the knee. It's like there's a huge back and forth on the sideline.
Yeah,
with
that end of half was so terrible.
It was crazy. Well, let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, our buddy, Mark Zuckerman of massinsports.com, because there is big time Nats news to discuss. Mark, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Hey, doing well, guys. Glad to talk some baseball here in the middle of December.
Feels like baseball.
Warm us up a little bit, right? It's, December 18th. This is right around when the Nats normally make their big splashes. We kid because we care. But they do have a general manager, Mark. This is big. So Paul Toboni, everything's about ages now, right? 35 years old. Blake Butera, manager, 33-year-old. They've got a GM, and it's Ani Kalambi from the Phillies organization who ran their analytics department, their R&D, who's 31 years old. Was he on the radar? Was this a name you were hearing bantied about?
Well, no, and mostly because, and I think you guys had heard a similar thing from Toboni about month and a half ago, that made it sound like they probably weren't going to be hiring a GM at this time, that they were going to be content with the front office that they had begun to assemble. I think when he was first hired, the thought was, hey, maybe you bring in a GM to work underneath him, but then he kind of suggested that they weren't going to go that route. So it caught me by surprise, maybe not others. But this is certainly somebody who was kind of a rising star in the industry. I feel like this is a recurring theme And a lot of the moves they've made so far, they're hiring very young executives and coaches, to be sure. But in most of these cases, you hear about them and think, this is somebody who, within the industry, is viewed as somebody who's going to be a big name eventually. And maybe the strategy here is, let's go get them now before they become a bigger name, before they may have some other opportunities that they might jump at, and get it on the ground floor with them. We'll see if it works or not. It's kind of unprecedented how young they are. And I feel like 5 years from now, we're going to look back on this and say to ourselves, these were either some brilliant moves they made, or what were they thinking, having such a young front office, such a young coaching staff?
Yeah, I want to get into that because it is exciting and it does feel new and really exhilarating. But this is also going to go one way or the other, it feels like, pretty extremely, which we could talk about. But I wanted to say that just in reaching out to people to double down on what you were mentioning, last night I heard from someone who knows Colombi, who said he's one of the most brilliant player acquisition minds that this person in baseball knows. Another said he's elite at running R&D department. And another person, just said this is a special thinker, like a special human being. I mean, so this is one of those guys, like, I got to be honest, I didn't know anything about him. But it seems like when you ask baseball people, there is a reverence for this person. And you hear this about Butera. You hear this about Toboney. And that does make you feel good the more you kind of dig in on some of these hirings after the surface announcement is just, wow, look at how young this guy is.
Right. And I think that's the recurring theme there, is that people in the industry, even if we all didn't know who they were and the names didn't mean a lot to us, people in the industry who have worked with these guys have very positive things to say. And in Colombi's case, I know it was the last, 4 years with the Phillies running their R&D department. Now, let's be clear, the Phillies are not really known as a forward-thinking, analytics-heavy organization. Dave Dombrowski is pretty old school and has built a team in those regards. So maybe I don't know the influence that he had in Philly, but what I do know is his 7 years with Tampa Bay, where they are all about data, analytics, trying to find every little edge they can, that he was a big part of what they did and was given a lot of credit for some of the acquisitions of some lesser-known players, particularly pitchers and even more specifically relief pitchers, who maybe weren't big names, and they acquired them and then developed them into some really good major league players and major league pitchers. And I think that's instructive because if there is a theme of what we see going on with the Nats right now, I think we all kind of acknowledge they're not big spenders at the moment. That doesn't seem to be the strategy. And so the strategy may be, can you go find good quality big league players in places that you don't normally think of, or, you know, lower round draft picks, waiver acquisitions, trades that don't generate a lot of headlines, and develop those guys into quality big leaguers? I would argue that that has been just as much of a problem for the organization over the last decade as anything else they did on a larger scale, is that they just have not developed enough baseline quality big leaguers out of their own system that don't necessarily become stars, but do become productive players that help you win in the end.
Mark Zuckerman with us here on GND. So for that initiated, what's the distinction between a GM and the president of baseball ops? How will the day-to-day work?
Yeah, so I know there are probably a lot of people out there that saw this and said, oh, this is the guy replacing Mike Rizzo? I thought they already got somebody for that. And it's really not. Paul Toboney is in charge. He's the president of baseball operations. And for those who maybe don't remember, Mike Rizzo was technically, his title was president of baseball operations and general manager. So he oversaw it all. The modern MLB front office, and seen this over the last decade or so, very often you have somebody with the president title and they hire someone and give them a GM title, or they promote from within and give them the GM title. And it's not the classic GM that we always think of. It's more of a second in command, and they may have a specialty, like in this case with Colombi, it's very much on the R&D side and on the data side. And so I think he's going to lead a lot in that area and certainly be a trusted voice and handle a lot of things. But ultimately, Toboney is calling the shots. And Colombi may advise him on things and make recommendations on things, just as I think Mike DiBartolo will and a few of the other people that they've hired. So I think he'll have clout, but I think ultimately this is Toboney's team, and he'll be the one deciding what direction they're going with every move. Falcons.
You touched on my next question. Where does this leave DeBartolo?
So he's still with them. He was given the title of, and I got to look this up to make sure I have it exactly right. He is a senior vice president and assistant GM. And my understanding is going to be in charge of baseball operations. And I think it's going to be fairly similar to what he used to do under Mike Rizzo with maybe a few different responsibilities. Certainly one of the trusted voices. He's actually the old man of the group now at the ripe old age of 41, guys, if you want to start feeling old.
My goodness gracious.
He's got to get ready for retirement.
Gray hairs.
Yeah, right. So they clearly do value him, the institutional knowledge that he has. I think he'll probably still handle a lot of the day-to-day transactional kind of stuff that he used to do. But I think he's going to have a seat at the table. And the way that Toboni has talked about all of this is that he really wants us to be collaborative and not just one person deciding everything. Now, yes, he has the final say, but he wants everyone in that like assistant GM role and higher. And so that's now Colombi, DeBartolo, the two other people he brought in that he's worked with in the past, Devin Pearson and Justin Horwitz. He wants them all to collaborate together and hopefully come to some consensus decisions that ultimately Toboni signs off on and says yes.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is what we're going to do.
And you had to keep DeBartolo because you need an old head. You know, you need just a super
the
old
ancient guy
that you can kind of bounce thing off, things off
back
of.
Back in my day, we used to do it this way.
Exactly. You mean 2023?
Rizzo had Bob Boone, you know, and now this guy's got a 41-year-old, right? Toboni and company, Ani Colombi. Now, I joke because it's easy to do, but I am thrilled. You know, I'm really excited. I'm really giddy about this. It is the polar opposite. I said to Danny yesterday, to say this is antithetical to how they did things before, like, doesn't even begin to cover it clearly. But just to play devil's advocate for a second, as fired up as I am, there are people, I'm sure, around baseball, older guard folks, that are kind of turning an eye up at this. They're kind of like, really? I mean, are they going to have anybody who's done this before at a high level? like, could this go badly, I guess, is my question.
Oh, of course. You know, but you could argue this that it could go badly with a bunch of seasoned veterans
as well.
Of course.
So, I've seen that.
So
yeah.
I think it boils down to just how good are they at what they do, and, you know, what resources do they get from ownership? That's a big part of it. And do they, you know, apply them properly and do it the right way? So I think one thing, you know, I'm caught up in the ages too, but in looking at them all, in all these guys' cases, the five who are kind of now, you know, leading the way in the front office, they've all worked in Major League Baseball for like at least a decade in each case. So a lot of these guys started right out of college, internships, and climbed the ladder and worked their way up. So they are not coming completely out of the blue, having never done anything before. They're just being elevated to higher roles than they've ever had. But they have all been with big league organizations in, you know, like assistant GM roles, you know, and having a say in how things are done. And in most of these cases, either with Tampa Bay, who we know what their philosophy has always been, or with the Red Sox, who are a big market club that generally spends big and does big things. So I think it's, in theory, a good combination of that. They're certainly going to be data-driven, but Toboni has an actual scouting background, so it's not like he's opposed to any of that kind of stuff. We'll see. I think the you do probably have to give them a little leeway because of the age, and every indication that we're getting so far suggests that they're thinking long-term versus short-term. And that's going to be frustrating to a lot of fans. It's frustrating to me covering the team to think after six straight losing seasons, we may be looking at a couple more. But if they're going to do what they say they want to do, it's kind of a long-term project. And they probably feel like they have the job security to be able to do that and not feel like there's immediate pressure to win. And if you're the Lerner family and you said, hey, we're blowing this whole thing up and starting over, okay, we're giving you the keys to the car. Go do it the way you see fit. Paul Toboni seems to be saying, yes, we're going to do it that way. We're going to completely revamp this. But you don't just have success overnight because of it.
Mark Zuckerman of MassinSports.com on G&D. Before we let you go, they've actually made two trades in a quiet offseason in terms of, you know, free agency so far. They gave up their lefty potential closer in Jose A. Ferrer to go get Harry Ford, who's a former number 12 overall pick and one of the more talked about catching prospects in baseball over the years, a 3-time futures gamer, who's now ranked second in the system via MLB Pipeline. And then more recently, their second round pick out of Oklahoma has been traded in Jake Bennett, and they brought back a flame-throwing 101 mile an hour right-hander and Perales, who I guess has a chance to maybe work his way into this rotation in the next year or so. What do you make of the fact that they've actually somehow added two top five prospects in these deals recently?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. Let's start with the bigger one at the beginning, which was the Ferrer for Ford. You know, Jose Ferrer, I think we all like and appreciate and think this could be a top late inning reliever for many years. Having said that, if you have the ability to go get a potential franchise catcher in Harry Ford, who you're going to have for 6 years of control versus four for Ferrer, you make that move. Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe he doesn't live up to the potential that he has. But we know how big of an issue catching has been for them. And while you're not totally giving up on Keibert Ruiz, I don't think you can just say, well, he's got this contract, so we have to stick with him as the number one guy no matter what. They needed to do something in that regard. So you give up a reliever for a potential franchise catcher. That to me makes complete sense. The swap of prospects is interesting because you're going and getting a guy that obviously he already knew from Boston, and he's got a big-time arm. Now, there's command issues, as often is the case with guys who throw 101. So there's a gamble aspect to that. But if it pans out and if Toboni knows this guy and thinks highly enough of him, you know, it seems like a gamble worth taking. Jake Bennett, who they gave up, might have turned into a number four, number five starter for them. Probably wasn't viewed as more than that. And so you're taking a shot at somebody who might be a frontline starter in exchange for somebody who maybe had a better chance of being a back end starter.
Mark, thank you as always, man. Have a great holiday.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good catching up. There's Mark Zuckerman. Check him out, MassinSports.com. We should point out, by the way, that the new GM of the Nationals, the 31-year-old Ani Colombi coming over from the Phillies, is going to be on the show with us tomorrow, which we're excited about, I think right at 5 p.m. So If you want to listen to that interview, get to know him a little bit, and just hear what he's all about, the Nats, new GM, coming over from the Phils, Ani Kalambi, on the show tomorrow at 5 p.m. Of course, we'll be out in Leesburg.
Indeed.
At Pupatella Pizza. I don't think he's coming out to Leesburg to eat pizza with us.
It'd be cool if he did.
He's probably just going to be on the phone, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But maybe we could try to feed him some pizza through the phone.
He'd be like, listen, we're eating pizza. Do you want to know what it's like? We can help you there.
What do you think of Laremy Tunsil being out this week, which seemed like a no-brainer, but not being ruled out beyond this? Dan Quinn saying they're hoping he'll be back next week. I was kind of thinking they might shut him down for the season today. The opposite happened. He didn't have to say anything. He just said he's out for this game. We're hoping he plays next week. So he kind of zigged where everybody thought he might zag.
I was curious about that. I wonder if they didn't want to do two shutdowns within a, 96-hour period, give or take, when they shut Daniels down and maybe catch some flack from that? I wonder. So, again, I don't necessarily take what he says at face value.
They're really punting on the season.
Yeah, because if you're trying to tell everybody, you're trying to dangle the carrot, you could do a quiet one. You know, like the Cardinals did with Kyler Murray. It was a very quiet benching. It's injury-related. It's going to take a long time coming back. How long? End of the season. Anyway, go Brissett.
Wouldn't most people just approve of it, though? I think that's a message people can approve of. There'd be some fans, and there's certainly season ticket holders. I've heard from a lot of them going, do I get any money back? I paid a ton of money to watch this team. And two of the, whatever it was, eight regular season home games this year that I got, they've decided, even if Jaden Daniels is healthy, that they're not going to play him. What do I get out of that?
Yeah, it's a fair question, by the way, in all sincerity. But I was thinking more internally. Now, again, this is the type of thing I don't care about near as much as people do, but the idea, if you're trying to use some of the same rhetoric, the same rah-rah, the same, hey, let's get up for these, this division tournament type things, we're taking it seriously, here's our metric for success, do whatever you can to get the players motivated to play hard for you. If you shut another guy down where you're told now, hey, this guy's also above the rest of you. You peons, you guys, 31 free agents that are probably not going to be back here, you guys go get in a couple car wrecks for us. This guy that was a little bit more special than you, he's sitting down next to the other guy that's more special than you. I wonder if that's something that may have been on their minds to not do it. That was my first conspiracy theory. But if taking it at face value is the exercise, I'm kind of going, oh, you're so close. You could have just, we're right there. Right there on the precipice. Just take that little step. Take that one little step that makes a lot of sense.
I would not call plays any differently if I'm Cliff. This always sounds like I'm being disrespectful to Marcus Mariota, who I think is a great backup, and I'm happy he's here. I want to keep around. But, it's not like it's Jaden Daniels, and you really got to worry about the kid's health, and you're prioritizing all of those things. You got a veteran quarterback out there being a football player, and frankly, whether he's healthy or not in the next season isn't going to make or break you. So I'll do longer developing things when the situation dictates it, 5- and 7-step drop. Also, it's not like they're playing some random dude off the street at left tackle. Brandon Coleman was their starting left tackle all of last year with the prized possession Jaden Daniels operating in the gun, protecting his blind side. So I don't think you do anything differently. And that might even be the best way to figure out how good Tunsil's replacement is, too. You're going to find out a lot more about Brandon Coleman if you just call the game as if Tunsil was out there rather than babying him and, going with screens and quick game and stuff like that, worried about him getting beat by Jalen Phillips or some of these edge rushers for the Eagles. Phillips, by the way, has been really good since he came over in a trade. But I'm calling the exact same game, and I'm throwing Coleman into the deep end again and seeing what kind of progress he's made over the course of the season.
I'm into that. I think that's a smart idea. It sounds so flip. You're right. It sounds so flippant and dismissive. Like, hey, who gives a damn if Mariota gets hurt? Am I right? He's expendable. That's not the implication at all. But it's a, I got enough that I'm looking at in my offense, including Coleman, by the way. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a certain time if you have off the street Oliver where you go, I can't do a straight 7-step drop against Aiden Hutchinson this week. Or we're playing Cleveland. I'm not going to leave him alone against Myles Garrett. That's probably a bridge too far. But at some point, I might have to run my offense if Laremy Tunsil's banged up over the next year or two or something. I need to see what Brandon Coleman can do at this stage. So that's part of the evaluation, too.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Our double play is coming up in 25 minutes at 3:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Next, J.J. Watt's got an issue with Tua Tagovailoa. It's got nothing to do with how he's played that led to his benching. We'll explain next right here on G&D.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Danny, you know yesterday was my son's 5th birthday.
That's right.
We had a big day. He opened presents in the morning. I got home at night in time to do some cake and some ice cream before bedtime.
Can I ask one thing?
Yes.
Or are you about to tell this?
I'm not going to tell anything.
Lobster?
Did the lobster happen? Actually. That's actually funny you bring that up. So he did get a gigantic lobster.
We couldn't believe it. We were blown away here in studio that that's what Nooms wanted.
My wife asked, what do you want for dinner? Mm-hmm. And he said he wanted a lobster. And it sounds like, wow, you guys have lobster for dinner? Man, this is a hoity-toity kid. I think he wanted to go pick out a lobster and like look at it in the, certainly not an aquarium. What would you call it? That little glass case?
You could call it that, a mini aquarium?
Yeah, so those
tank?
Lobsters at Wegman that just are like rolling around on the bottom of the glass case.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he wanted to do that and then have a live lobster like laying in the cart or whatever they do. So he ate a lobster. I don't know how much of it he actually ate. If I'm being honest, it seemed like my wife ate some lobster.
Did you get any lobster?
Well, I said to her, I said, I don't know. Am I doing lobster? I'm not really in a lobster mood. She said, you're not getting lobster.
Like shut, you don't get
very,
that?
Like, just no way you would get lobster.
You don't get that.
He's having lobster because it's his birthday.
Yeah, he's special. You're not.
Whoa. So she told me I was having chicken.
Oh.
So he got lobster and I got chicken. But anyway, the reason I brought this up was one of the presents he got, we let his sister pick out something for him. So we went to Target, I guess, and they were going down the different aisles. Like, what do you want to get your brother? And she picked out a wrestling ring. Not just any wrestling ring, though, Vic. Money in the Bank wrestling ring.
That's good.
This is good stuff, right? Yeah. This took me back
to
my childhood.
That feels like him.
So he has the ladders, and then there's this contraption that hooks up to the corner of the ring that dangles the Money in the Bank briefcase over top of the ladders. He already has. He has three wrestlers. That's who he's got. Anybody want to take a guess at his three wrestlers?
I saw one yesterday.
Who'd you see?
Upside down Seth Rollins.
Yeah, so he's got Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
He's got The Rock, who he doesn't really know, but I just said you got to have
you're
The
like,
Rock.
If you're going to have a wrestler, yeah.
And then he's got this guy named Otis, which is completely random, deep cut.
Otis?
Otis is like a pretty fat guy who's hilarious, who does like the
Is
worm.
He a jobber?
Well, we call him Otis the Dad. Because there was a short time where I was considering being Otis for Halloween because he's like this big, hilariously heavy wrestler, but he's like does these crazy athletic moves where he's flying around the ring. And just because of his sheer weight, he like at this time, I don't know if he still does, he walked out with this unbelievably talented girl who was very talented.
Known for like her wrestling acumen?
No, more like her wrestling. What do you call the person that walks out with a wrestler, Vic? You're
a valet?
No, I don't.
An accompaniment?
Manager.
Manager. That's oh,
well, she's actually the Intercontinental champion right now.
Who is?
I believe you're talking about Maxine Dupri.
I might be.
Yeah.
Is she extremely talented as a wrestler?
She's the Intercontinental champion. That all tells you what you need to know.
Okay.
She's talented.
Mm, the talent is there.
But me and my wife were going to be Otis and Maxine Dupri.
And they call Otis Otis.
No, they don't.
Well, that's kind of the bit going on here. Otis.
That's tough.
Well,
that is hilarious. So anyway, so Otis is in the ring.
Okay.
But today we're playing with the wrestlers and we're doing the Money in the Bank thing at the house. I find out, because it's time to fix his ring and put it together, it comes like tied by the ropes that are supposed to actually be the ropes for the ring. And he cut them.
To open it up.
He cut his
ropes. Oh, no.
So my wife had to use like basically yarn to do string for the ring. It was all a mess. But we watched a Money in the Bank from years ago that John Cena won. And he is officially in wrestling age where he's like screaming like, look out, Cena, look out. Like he was in. And I'm like, oh my God, we've done it.
It happened.
We need to watch Monday Night Raw this week.
It happened.
He is officially the age where wrestling becomes a thing. He's like, you think Chris Jericho's going to win, Dad? And I'm like, no, maybe the Big Show's going to come knock him off this ladder. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be heartbroken if it's not Cena. So I'm like looking up who won Money in the Bank 2012. I'm like, oh, thank God it's Cena. And we're just waiting for the end. Somehow The Miz is involved. He's like, maybe The Miz will win. I'll take The Miz. He was in. I was sized.
That's so fun. That is so
Did
fun.
Did your kids ever have a wrestling phase?
No. For an hour and a half, one day, my oldest was kind of like, can we watch?
But you never put it on. So you didn't. Like, for me, I'm not a wrestling guy. But I'm
That is true. I never put it on.
I'm big on Royal Rumbles. Every year we do that. And I think that's where you've seen it. I do like $5 entries for all 30 spots. And I either have people over or on the phone. We're doing some kind of like gambling on the Rumble. So that there's moderate interest like a couple times a year.
Yeah.
And it's on enough that I think like I'll get on Peacock or whatever the app is. I think it's Netflix now. But I'll like if there's a pay-per-view on, I might be like, let's just see what's going on here. I probably watch like 9 minutes a year non-Royal Rumble. But it's enough to wet
it's
the palate.
It's just enough. Yeah. Because my 7-year-old, and he started a little bit younger than where Nooms is now, like he loves to grapple. Like, that's what he's here to do. He'll ask, like, in the middle of dinner, like, Dad, can we go grapple? And it's like, can I just finish my low-carb spaghetti real quick, and then we can do it? But, yeah, I mean, that's what he wants to do. So I've shown him a few of those videos here and there where it's like whatever I can think of, like old-school Ricky the Dragon Steamboat going off the top rope, or, you know, the rock bottom or a Stone Cold Stunner or something like that, or hitting someone with a steel chair. So he'll do the occasional bit, but nobody's, like, into wrestling.
I just love that we've reached that age.
Yeah.
It's like, here we go.
You're like, but you can see it like, oh, that's me. I did that.
He was so pumped. So when I was leaving, he asked me to put on another Money in the Bank. And I was like, listen, man, I can't just have you watching these without your mom around. Like, you're going to do this.
Because imagine she walks in, like, what are you watching?
Also, he's going to just start like hitting. Yeah. We're watching a guy hit a dude with a chair.
Yeah.
You can just do that to your sister.
You're going
to
clothesline Reagan.
So I said, ask mom to put it on for you, and if she says yes.
What was your favorite event as a kid?
Rumble.
Rumble.
Oh, my God. I mean, again, I'm 37, and I still get the Rumble. Like, I will not watch wrestling all year. I'll have no idea who anybody is, and I'll turn on the Rumble. And now it's even better, because you get the girl Rumble and the dude Rumble. You get 30 girls that come running out to wrestle, and then the 30 dudes. It's like an all-night affair.
Mm-hmm.
And you gamble on both of them. Shane's in Woodbridge. What's up, Shane? How are you?
Grant, I'm so disappointed in you to get your son into wrestling now. And John Cena just had his last match in Washington, D.C. this past Saturday, buddy.
I know. I wish I was there. Do you know how much tickets were for that thing?
Trust me, I know. I went.
Oh, wow. Can I ask you how much you paid for your ticket?
Me and my daughter went, and I paid $1,600.
Oof. You're a great dad. You're a better dad than me, bro. Now, I will if my son, I don't know what kind of fan your daughter is, if he was all in and seen as his favorite and he's got the T-shirts and he's doing hustle, loyalty, respect bits and you can't see me, then maybe I would have dropped the money. But for him to just, like, he was like, Dad, can we go to wrestling? And I was like, let me take a peek. I pulled it up on the Game Time app and I closed the app. I was like, we're not going this time,
no
buddy.
Doubt.
Yeah.
If he was a bigger fan,
Thank you, dude.
People paid crazy amounts for that. I saw close to the ring. It was like $1,400, $1,600 for a ticket.
Now, it wasn't on my radar other than our crazy Uber driver from Kansas City.
Bro, I thought about that guy so many times. Remind people, because 99% of people have no idea.
This is really hard to explain. You had to have been in one of the seven people in that car where this loose cannon talks about, like, yeah, dude, no, I don't know, man. I'm just like driving Uber. As long as I can get enough cash together, I'm just driving a road trip to D.C. Dude, I'm going to see you, man. Bleep, 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 this, bleep, that, bleep, yeah. And he's talking about, like, near arrests, near-death experiences, fights that he's gotten into, things that he's tried to smoke, things that he plans on smoking. I mean, it was a lot. This guy
He was driving, like, a 19-hour trip or whatever to go see he was, like, saving up his money to go see Cena one last time.
And, like, that was his plan. And he bleeps with Cena. You know what I mean? Like, I like John Cena. That's not how he would describe it.
Right.
He uses curse words.
But he was
to
there,
the same
supposedly.
Thing. I'm sure he was there.
Just knowing he was in the greater area bothered me.
There was a tremor in the force, dude. I can tell
knowing
you.
Knowing that guy was in the
DMV. He was just around.
I was, like, looking over my shoulder constantly.
Well, the other thing I was going to bring up is, again, what on my radar, didn't see it, not that interested. I've heard a pulse, a little Buzz Burbank in my ear, that people were very disappointed with how it ended.
So they
Cena.
Were.
Is that a thing?
They were. I've got a thought on this. Again, not a wrestling mark, but know enough to be dangerous, I guess, right? Very limited in my wrestling fandom. I was a huge fan in the Attitude Era, and now 7% of my antenna goes that way. So what happened was Cena tapped out. Cena's fighting Gunther?
Gunther.
Yeah, Gunther.
Now, this is not the manager at Central Perk from Friends?
No.
Okay.
So he's fighting Gunther. Gunther's doing this bit where he's got him in a chokehold. Cena starts getting out of the chokehold, and they're like, this is it. It's going to be over. And Cena does the thing he's done a million times where he rallies with the crowd, and he's standing up, and you're like, he's going to get out of this and win this thing. And then he drops back down, and he kind of like half smirks while in this chokehold and taps out. And so the guy whose entire slogan, his entire career, Danny, was what?
Can't see me?
Never.
Oh, never give up.
Never give up. Gave up and tapped out. And everyone's like, are you kidding me? And people were first shocked, because how do you lose your last match? Second, angry. But this is my hot take thing.
Oh, no.
And I'll tag you in. You know more about this than I do. Not only do I think it was the perfect way to end the match, I think ball knowers know that's, of course, how it was going to end. You do this thing as a wrestler. If you're old school, these guys like Cena or Cody Rhodes, who are students of the industry and students of the game and who really care about, like, the team players, so to speak, that care about WWE.
Sure.
The whole idea is you go out leaving the company in a better place, and the bit, if you want to call it that, is you put someone over. And, like, you will literally, in his case, he, like, puts his shoes. He's, like, doing this dramatic thing where he takes his elbow pad off and puts it in the ring. You're, like, leaving it in the ring. My time is done. Now it's, I don't know if it's actually Gunther's time. Is he actually a star? Is that guy, like, a big deal?
That guy is a big deal. That guy doesn't lose a lot. And now that guy's going to be getting booed forever now.
But that's the thing.
And that's the thing.
Yeah,
he's got heat now.
He's got heat.
Yeah. And now there's a big story. So now the next baby face that comes and faces him and beats him, that's going to put him over, and just rinse and repeat.
So you're with me that you think this was the right way to do it.
Absolutely the right way. I knew it when I was there. I was there.
By the way, Vic was not only there. Vic had some sillies.
I had some sillies.
Did you have a guy, Vic, or did you just pay like a schlub?
I might have had a guy.
Yeah,
that might have hooked me up.
You had a guy.
And I'm in the background in a lot of clips. I've recorded some of it.
No
so,
way.
Yeah.
I mean, Vic was about 9 rows from the ring.
Oh, yeah.
I will say.
I saw John Cena's reactions, all of it. I didn't get to see the smirk because I was on the other side, but it was great.
Oh, the tap out. But so that's why people were mad.
That just doesn't seem right to me.
They want him to win his final match, but I think it's one of those, like, ball knowers. No, you go out on the Shield.
Which I understand, but at the same time, you can't give up.
That's the whole...
Like, if he gets beat,
then he gets
beat. The
irony is great. He was ready to give up. It's over. Like,
but it's all about the storyline moving forward.
Right.
And they have a good story moving forward, because Cena's now done. He's no longer at the company.
He's not part of the company.
He didn't give up in a sense.
I mean, tapped?
No, no, no. Isn't that exactly what tapping is? He gave way to what's about to come in the industry.
I don't know.
It's very artistic.
That's a semantic bridge you're walking over there.
You don't sound like a ball knower.
I watch a documentary like everybody else.
No,
I have a percentage, not as much as yours, but right. I got a decade of watching.
Sounds like you're not a wrestling ball knower.
To me, there's a way to pass the torch without quitting. Sounds like he quit, and everyone thought that was very poetic, patting themselves on the back for this smirk, artistic
the
twist.
The smirk is supposed to signify like it's over. My career is over. It's not like he didn't give up. It's just my time is over.
It's Gunther's time.
Because if you hear his music, his song says, "Your time is up. My time is now." Well, now his time is up, other guy's now.
Vic's a ball knower.
Vic knows.
All makes sense.
It does. We didn't get to J.J. Watt and Tua, but we got a lot of time to do that as the day goes on. Our double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Beltway Blitz at 4. We'll get into Marcus Mariota. Should Washington pay him legitimate money to keep him around if he's got interest as a starter elsewhere? That's in the 5 o'clock hour today on G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 4 o'clock. And the Beltway Blitz show will be live today until 6:30. We're scouting the opponent with Jimmy Kempski, who covers the Eagles. Looking forward to chatting with him about Philadelphia. The more I watch the Eagles this week, getting ready for this game and doing the Take Command pod with Logan, the more confused I get about if they're good or not. I understand why it's chaos in Philadelphia covering that team and fans are booing and angry. Because for us on the outside, we're going, look at their record. Are you kidding me? Why are people upset? They won the Super Bowl last year. But if you actually down-to-down just watch their season, it is a maddening experience.
It's a slog at times for them. Right?
It's a bad offense. Jalen Hurts is just not playing that well. This week is a whole different story. They beat the Raiders 31-0 and maybe they got right. But really, really curious to see moving forward now. Whether or not they've solved anything or if they just got to play Vegas, which is basically a prescription of medicine for an ailing victim.
Seriously, it is Neosporin for that cut. They are not a first division club at this point, not an NFL team.
Not a sneaky take, nothing cold, hot or cold about this. I just think it's right. The Raiders are going to pick first. They play the Giants still. Those are two of the worst teams in the league. They could catch the Giants if New York was to beat them. I think that's next week. I think the Giants have another win in them. I don't know that the Raiders do. It feels like they've checked out.
Yeah, it's not as if to say the Giants are good. It's the Raiders are that bad. They've been outscored by 167 points this year. It's by far and away the worst in the league.
They're getting Geno back, which makes them better because Kenny Pickett was terrible.
Dreadful.
This past weekend. So that'll make them a little bit more competitive. But even still, I just don't see it. And the hot take, if you want one on the Raiders that I've got, would be one and done for Pete Carroll. And I'm moving on from Geno. Contract situation. I don't even know what it is. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going younger at quarterback, and I'm getting a new head coach in there because I got Pete Carroll. I brought him in. The whole reason that you could sell me on him, which would have been tough, would have been, hey, we won't bottom out. We'll stay competitive. He'll get us ready over two or three seasons as like an 8-9 win team to make a push when we want to in 3 years. Except that didn't happen and the bottom fell out. So thank you for your services, but we're moving along.
Do you remember in The Departed when Matt Damon's looking at that really nice apartment? And the realtor's like, yeah, so you're going to buy this on a cop salary? Like, what's the deal? And he looks at the guy and goes, I have a cosigner. That's you. That's me. Cosigner. I agree with everything you just said. Every word.
Time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. The 2 minutes in The Departed where the elevator doors keep opening up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah.
It just came out last week, so there might be some people.
It's a new film.
But that 120 seconds of film. At the building at the end of the movie. Where
I thought you were talking about where he's getting the phone number. He's like, I don't need the number. I don't need your card. I'm a detective. I'm kidding. I need the card.
No, I'm talking about where the elevator's open. Something happens.
What
they
happens?
Close, the elevator opens again.
What happens?
God, that's as good a movie as there is. Still my number one of all time. Double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
Sean Combs, The Reckoning. This Netflix documentary, if you are in a certain age group, which I am very much in, you got to watch it. You got to put it together. You got to get it going. 4 episodes on this bad boy. So, and that was a bad pun. I didn't even mean to do that from Bad Boy Records. So there's a little bit too much for my taste of in episode 1, especially like, here's who Sean Combs was. Here's where he came from. And here's him growing up. And here's what he was doing. I know why they're doing it. It's to set the stage for everything that was to come. It was to kind of explain how we got here. Still, I'm kind of bored. I'm like, where's my stuff? Where's all the things that I read about? This documentary is incredible. So I was, you know, I'm here just like you are. I follow the news as much as you normally do. But at a certain point, you tune things out. And here's what I mean. I don't really remember all of the unbelievable details of all the different things that he was accused of, right? And this documentary goes into not only all of those things, but it paints a pretty clear picture that there's a bunch of other stuff that you have forgotten about. This shooting in a nightclub, this assault, this alleged kidnapping, and everything's alleged, whatever I'm supposed to say. The documentary does it. I'm not saying it. I'm just a dude. There are so many things that even to someone that I would say follows whatever that is loosely enough, it just wasn't in my memory bank. I don't really recall some of the intimate day in, day out type details. The implications of there's a connection made between the shooting, not the ultimate death, but the initial shooting of Tupac Shakur in New York that then prompted the East Coast, West Coast feud. Then some of the stuff behind the scenes. We always thought it was a Suge Knight situation. This documentary does a pretty good job of explaining it wasn't just Suge Knight. It was also somebody else who you were probably pretty familiar with, and who's the subject of a lot of these things.
So this is not a documentary that is made for me to feel bad for this guy.
No.
Okay, good.
No, then I will definitely
watch it. So what I was going to say was, I'm kind of surprised you watch it. When I flipped past it and I saw that this was a documentary, I was the hardest out you could possibly be. Because one of the biggest differences, and I'm not saying this is some like great development or that I'm mature. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's good or bad. But one of the biggest differences for me between myself at 37 and myself, say, at like 22, is I will not buy a ticket to the circus. I am not going to do anything that might be confused with supporting the moron. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, you won't benefit from me. The pixels, the eyeballs, the clicks, you're not getting them from me. So with the goofball brothers who have, like, ruined boxing, the YouTubers.
The Pauls.
It used to be that you could get me to like engage in a discussion about why they're bad for boxing online, or you know, I might watch the fight and be mad about how stupid it is or whatever. I'm not engaging. You won't get 1 ounce of my energy. I'm just on to the next. If I see you, I'm scrolling past. And in this case, I saw a thing where his face was on it, and I went, "That's not for me."
So what's wild about this? There's a lot of things that are wild, and you forget. Again, so much of the details, and they come roaring back in real time. But what's so incredible is a lot of the footage, he had someone shoot himself. Like, he hired a videographer to follow him around while he was going through some of this stuff.
That's why I thought it was pro-him and basically trying to get me to feel empathy.
Well, this narcissist thought it was. That he thought, like, I'm the star of this story. And it's just, I don't want to say it's just as damning, but it's spliced in such a way with interviews and testimony and court things and kind of what was going on in the news and some of the manipulations and everything in between. It's expertly done. It's really, really good. It's produced by 50 Cent, who doesn't care very much for Sean, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Diddy Combs,
oh, no
or whatever.
Way.
Yeah. So So the story is this guy thinks he's filming something because he wanted to film everything about himself because he, you know, thinks of himself as this super genius superstar or whatever. And he was actually kind of, I don't want to say digging his own grave, but actually embarrassing himself.
I'll watch
to
it.
A degree.
I like that.
Allegedly, whatever I have to say.
I think you covered your bases.
I don't know, allegedly.
Ask Kondora and Murrah. There are official lawyers now. Jalen Carter.
Send a text real quick.
Lane Johnson. The status for those two players is now known. And guess what? It's good news for Washington. We'll give you that as soon as we return ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.